Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you, and it's good to have Brianna with us, and good to have Mason with us. And my name is Mason, too, so Mason, hello. I wanted to mention to you before we start that Angel called me, and he is not sure whether he has COVID or not, but he has a headache. He's got sore throat. Araceli has got lumps, I guess you would say, on her neck that hurt. And so keep them in prayer. And it's a scary time, and those are scary things. This is, as we've said, it's been a rough week, knowing that Sandy is in the shape that she's in. Our title today is Healing and Hatred. You would think when somebody's healed that everybody would love that, but instead they hated it. Those that were Jews, those who were leaders in the land, they hated that Jesus had done that. He had broken every command as far as they were concerned. So I want to read once again in John 5:10-18. This man had been healed. He had been lame for 28 years. And it says, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, and it's not lawful for you to take up your bed. But he answered them, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. They asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was. For Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Instead of rejoicing, the one thing we want to do is make sure you are walking in the law. Now, it doesn't matter that we made up the law, but we want you to walk in it because that's the way that we do things, and we follow the law. Above everything else, we follow the law. It sounds like some of my brethren that are legalistic, the law, and they don't understand the law at all. And yet, this is the real problem. We've got to keep the law. Now, I agree we ought to keep the law, but is our interpretation always what the law is? And so, a man is cured of an incurable malady. You don't just get up and walk. When what would happen today? And I remember my sister, she used to come in her wheelchair, and I loved her dearly. If all of a sudden she would have got up and walked, I'll tell you, if you didn't get excited, I would have been upset at you. That when somebody is healed, we ought to get excited about that. And especially if we're talking about somebody that's been healed spiritually. We don't get very excited, oh, he come and repented, and or he come and did this, and so on. No, we're watching love. Did he really repent? I wonder whether he did. That's attitude. That's looking at the law in the wrong way. And there should be universal joy. Do you think maybe that the angels sang in heaven when that man got up and walked? I believe that they did. I believe that they were joyful about that, and all of heaven lighted up, and God says, my son is working exactly my will. And there was joy in heaven, but there couldn't be joy here upon the earth because we have just broken the law. And you know what? I don't know that you know it or not, but you could be stoned for doing what this man did. Did you know that? Go back and search in history. The man is now carrying his bed. You know, I saw a little article one time or a little picture, and it showed a man that had just been baptized, and he was walking away carrying his bed on his head. And I think that's a good picture, that all of a sudden you've been healed. And the angels in heaven sing, but man around here looks and says, oh, what has happened? My goodness. This happened on the Sabbath day. Terrible thing. And the Orthodox Jews stopped him and quoted the law. Now, that's one thing when we quote the law, and that's one of the things we do. But you know what? When you're rejoicing, and my wife is telling sometimes, and she says, you know what? Mason does some stupid thing. And wives, submit yourself to your husband. Right? Quote the scripture to them. Whenever we should be rejoicing, we are going to quote scripture to them. So we have better be careful. You cannot carry your burden on the Sabbath day. That was the law. And they had got it from the law. But one of the things that they had done is they misunderstood the law. And do you think that maybe we misunderstand the commandments of God sometimes? Or are we always right? And are we nitpickers? In other words, I think sometimes we swallow camels instead of the gnats. Jews made ridiculous laws. You know, we are for laws, but sometimes we become ridiculous when we make these laws. When we understand the law in a certain way, we make these laws, and that's a very dangerous practice. So there's thousands of made-up rules. Where did they get them? Well, they interpreted it, and this is what we do with Scripture, isn't it? We interpret them. We first get all the evidence that we can, and then finally we interpret them. And that's just a normal thing that we do. And then we take those scriptures and we judge ourselves and we judge others accordingly. And maybe sometimes our judgment is not just right. But we think it's right because I believe it's right, and I'm going to force that on everybody else. I want you to consider what I'm saying today. Because we see this all the time. We use the rules sometimes to control the people. And that's a dangerous thing. They had 39 different classifications of work. Now I want you to think about this as I go through this, because this is in history. Anybody can find it. And one of the laws that they had was you can't carry any burden on the Sabbath day. Period. What the law actually said is the Sabbath is a different day than the rest of the days. You are to treat it differently than any other day. And the Sabbath, to you that do not know, is Saturday. Every Saturday, they were to keep that day as a holy day, set apart for God, set apart for the family, set apart so that they could rehearse the things of God and count the blessings that they had from God. The man, servants, and the animals, they could do no work on that day. But what do we consider work? What kind of work? You would almost think that man was made for the Sabbath, but did Jesus reverse that? Jesus said that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. So it's something to benefit man by, and man had taken to a holy degree that you could not do any kind of work. I want you to get this. They could not do any kind of work, and carrying that burden was one of the works that you could not do. The question should be, what kind of work? God, I want to know, and this is what we don't do. We see something, we interpret it, and we say, I didn't really ask God what he really meant. You know, if you went in the Old Testament, for example, he said, thou shalt not kill, right? And then in the next chapter, he says, go out and his army and kill these people. Well, something's not ringing right, okay? And that should give me pause to think about what did he mean. And I had not thought that he had meant murder instead of killing, because it's not wrong to kill. Did you know that? It's not wrong to kill. It's not wrong to kill a man. And they do it all the time in an execution. And they did it in the Old Testament. And you know what? Sometimes you run over a child, not by purpose, on purpose, but by accident. Well, he's just as dead anyway, right? So we need to think these things through is all I'm saying. Was he talking about the priests working on Sabbath? Well, no, the priests have to work on the Sabbath. That's the day that they're the busiest of all. Well, it must have not been that kind of work, was it? The priests could work. They were commanded to work. So it must not have been that kind of work, and they all agreed to that. The priests had to work on the Sabbath day, but we're not condemning them for working on the Sabbath day. We're only condemning this man over here because he's carrying a burden on the Sabbath. Oh, me. This really gets hard to distinguish, doesn't it? What about getting an ox out of a ditch? Well, yeah, you've got to do that, but you can't carry your bed on the Sabbath, but you can certainly get that ox out, and we may need you to come and help us get the work out, the ox out, and we're working together, and we ought to do that because the ox is very important, but the man walking is sinning. Something's wrong with our thinking. Is he talking about servile work? That is the regular work that we do every day to make a big profit and all that. Well, this is hard to figure out. I mean, it's hard to figure out. It's hard to study because we already know the answer before we ever begin the study. And if we already know the answer before we start to study, then why study? And here I am. That's pitiful, isn't it, Pagey? What does the law mean? That's the question. What passages did the Jews use to enforce this? Now I want you to take it from our perspective in the church right now. And I want to put this passage up and see what you understand it to mean. And I want you to interpret it and see what you might come up with. In Jeremiah 17, 21 and 22, thus says the Lord, take care for the sake of your lives and do not bear a burden on the Sabbath day or bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, and do not carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath or do any work, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your fathers. Whew. That's a pretty good passage, isn't it? Are you to do any work? Or do we study this? Do we take just this one passage and say, you know what, I've got it all nailed down, I understand it, and therefore, I saw Stephen Monica coming in today as she was carrying a purse. Just what I thought. I think the church ought to have a meeting right afterwards, don't you? So we can talk about her carrying a purse today. In Nehemiah 13:15, in those days I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on donkeys and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, and I warned them on the day when they sold food. Well, that gives a little different perspective of what we're talking about. That gives a whole different perspective altogether. What is the meaning? It's wrong to trade on the Sabbath day like any other day. They were just doing this like any other day. They were making a profit, they were selling, and they were trading, and it's just like any other day to them. And that's what God's talking about. The rabbis taught it was wrong to carry a needle in your robe. We're going to search you. We're the brethren, and we're going to search you. And I look down here, and I see, I want to examine you, and I want to search you and find out if maybe you've got a needle hid somewhere. Well, you know, it's wrong for a man to have long hair, isn't it? The Bible says so in 1 Corinthians 11, but what is long hair? I knew one time of an individual that said that he couldn't buy a horse because the hair on the tail was too short. Well, how short was it? Well, it was about that long. And then another fellow come along and he says, well, man, I've got a big hair in my eye. How big is it? Well, it's just... Well, we have to figure out what long hair is. It's up to me. I even saw a man one time that had an earring on. Why, my. Church meeting. Oh. And I like this rule, really. I'm telling you, this is what's in some of their laws. You could not wear false teeth, and they had wooden teeth or whatever it was in those days. You couldn't wear false teeth on the Sabbath day. Now, you would love to see me preach without my teeth. Do you see the ridiculousness? Well, you couldn't even have an artificial leg. You ought to see Deacon Jones as he rattles his bone, and old Parson Brown as he's hopping around like a clown. Old Aunt Jemima, past 83, crying out, look at me. And old Deacon Jones hopping around on his toes, throw away his crutches and, hey, let's go. Why, this is terrible. He's got his artificial leg on. Could not wear a brooch on the Sabbath. Well, I don't. You know what a brooch is, Pagey? Do you ever wear a brooch? My wife is a Christian. She doesn't wear brooches. So it's a matter of life and death if you carried your bed on the Sabbath day. I'm just trying to show the ridiculousness, and we say, well, we don't have that problem here. We don't have the problem in the Church of Christ. We don't have the problem as me as an individual. I have studied the Scriptures for at least 60 years. And if anybody knows, I know the Scripture. The man's defense. The man who helped me. He told me to carry my bed. What kind of a man's that? He told you to break the law. Now, that's what he did. The healed man didn't know his identity. I don't know who he was. He was just a man, and I didn't stop to get his name. I don't know who that was. We got to find that man. Later in the temple, the man identifies Jesus. And this was not trying to get Jesus in trouble. He just finally recognized, that's the one you asked me. This is my defense. He told me to do it. I did it. And therefore, he's the one that did it. And should I be blamed if he told me to take my bed and walk? I hadn't walked in 28 years, and now here I am, and I'm walking. Where's the blame? They made up a law, and that law was intentionally carrying your burden perishable by death. And that man told you to do that. This man was simply telling why he broke the law. I broke the law because he told me to break the law, and I couldn't walk before, but I can walk now. And I kind of hate to see that fellow get in trouble. And Jews want to know, why did you do it on the Sabbath? They're accusing Jesus of something terribly, terribly, terribly wrong. The verbs are in the imperfect tense and means Jesus is habitually doing this on the Sabbath. He's always healing somebody. His disciples even go into the fields and take the grain and rub it between their hands and eat it. He's always doing something like this on the Sabbath day. God rested from creation on the Sabbath, but God did not rest from working. That's the first point. God did not rest from working on the Sabbath. There were higher works. Judgment, mercy, and compassion. Those are to be done every day of the week. And this is what Jesus wants us to do. Every day of the week. I've got the log problem. There's a big log in my eye, and I want to get the speck out of yours. And then somebody else has a tree in theirs, and they want to get the log out, and they want to get this back. The sun shines, the birds sing, love and compassion never stop. Every day we get God working in our lives. We can see that God works every day. And we ought to enjoy the compassion that we shed to each other and help each other. What Jesus said to them was absolutely shocking. Have you ever been shocked? Well, I've been shocked before by something bad that was said, or somebody will say something about the Bible that I've never heard before, and it shocks me. But I'm going to have to stop and think about it and find out what's the truth. The Father works on the Sabbath, and so do I, he said. Just like the Father, I'm doing what the Father does on the Sabbath, and I'm doing it. And he does it all the time, and you're not upset about that, but I do it exactly what the Father does. And you're all bent out of shape about that. God's love, mercy, works every day, and so does mine. I'm simply doing what the Father does. Well, that's no excuse. And Jesus is saying, I'm not giving it as an excuse, I'm giving it as the reason. The shattered Jews. Oh, this tears them apart. They don't know what to do with this. What do we do with what he just said? that's worthy of death. We've got to figure out how to get rid of this guy. The work of Jesus is the same as God. And the reason why that's so is because he is God. You know what? People don't like God very much. I hope that's not true in the church. I hope that's not true with any of us. We need to look and find out whether it's good. Jesus had put himself on equality with God, and that is blasphemy. Any man putting himself on equality with God is blasphemy. I believe that today. You believe that today. But what would convince me that Jesus was God? Well, there's a lot of things that he was doing that only God could do. That would be the first indication. Later on, they're going to deny his resurrection even. Jesus teaches that human needs must always be met. But that's not true if you're going to go to church. If you see a wreck out here and somebody laying at the side of the road, you go to church and then help him afterwards, but don't help him before you come to church. Everybody knows that. I hope everybody understands that. Pain, distress, and heartache always come first in serving God. He came to heal the brokenhearted. And he showed by the physical things that he did that he's going to do something spiritually. And people are going to get very upset what he's going to do spiritually. I want you to get that. Other work laid aside, but compassion, he never lays it aside. As I told you something, we really have an impact upon people. Do you remember what I wrote yesterday to you about Sandy? One guy in this congregation touched her heart deeply, and that was Robbie. She had a connection with Robbie. And I'm a little jealous, Robbie, that she liked you so much. What about us? This is the point of it. What about us? Forsake not the assembling. What do we do if they do forsake the assembling? Who says that they forsook the assembling? I do. Why? Because the evidence points that they forsook the assembling. You know what? A lot of people don't not hear. But is there reason? Not their excuse, is their reason okay with God? I say no. Absolutely not. They're not going to get away with it. We must give 10%. Every Sunday, you're to give 10%. You know what? My wife got sick this week, and I had to pay the hospital bill, and it took all the money I had. That doesn't matter. You give 10%. We make up rules. But are those rules really logical? I'm really questioning now. Do I believe we should give 10%? Yeah, I do. I believe we should at least give that. But what if you don't? I want to know, John, how are you giving? I want to know. Do you give 10%? You don't give 20%? And you know what? I can murder you with my tongue. If you're angry with your brother without cause, he says, you kill him, you murder him. Oh, this tongue lets slip a lot of things that we better be very careful of. You know, we make our little comments. Did you notice Paige had on that purple? And dressed her husband ridiculously in purple also. Oh my, this is horrible.
Royal colors.
What?
It's royal colors.
And we judge everybody that does not agree with me. And therefore, if you do not agree with me, it's like one of my brethren said when they had a debate, I can't have anything to do with you because you were sitting on the wrong side. Silly. Have we misread the rules, the law? Have we misread it? Or am I absolutely sure? I am sure of this. I will judge upon the basis of one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Spirit. I will judge upon that. We can't have fellowship without that. But whether we're going to know each other in heaven, I believe we will. But do you? Now, you need to agree with me. I've been preaching for years. I've preached in the Church of Christ for about 50 years. Why would you disagree with me whenever I understand a passage so clearly? And, you know, we make a mistake. I'm going to tell you what a mistake is. There are brethren that are weak in the faith, right? The Bible says there's those that are weak in the faith. That does not say that they're weak in faith. Did you follow the difference? Their faith may be great. They just haven't discovered something that God has revealed. And you cannot believe any more than you can see. And therefore, let me not judge you in those things. Ephesians 4, we totally agree, or you wouldn't be baptized for the remission of sins. Have we tried to be the judge, jury, and executioner? Because that's God's job through His Son. And we need to remember that every day. That really is what the lesson is about. That's what it's all about. Is, are we judging people because they're carrying their bed after they've been healed? Let's rejoice with them. How do we use our liberty? In Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Let me serve you. Let me help you. Let me, all of that. And taking advantage of God's grace. I'm going to tell you something. Put it down. We are not going to be saved because we are absolutely doctrinally correct. I want to be absolutely doctrinally correct, but I'm sure that I'm not because I've had to change my position so many times. How do we read the law? Are we contending for the faith? Are we contentious about the faith? There is a huge, huge difference. The faith is the gospel, not my interpretation. The gospel is the truth, not how I interpret it. We must agree on the plain, simple scriptures, and there are many plain, simple scriptures. I think all of us agree fornication is wrong. All of us agree that adultery is wrong. All of us agree that lying is wrong. All of us agree on that. And all of us agree that we ought to be telling the truth. But for proper growth, there must be diversity. And if we don't recognize that, we try to bind everybody in to us being the lawmaker. Quit using scriptures to control people and use scripture to help people. We may have many cripples here that need helping. Let's help them. Let's help them. Let's quit calling each other stupid and start calling each other brethren and recognize we all may need help. So, a hug, a smile, a cry, a healing, a broken heart. That's what it's all about. Let's serve each other instead of destroy each other. We want to rejoice with every step of progress that you make. So here's the invitation. Come. Because Jesus offers you life. And you can obey the gospel, and there's so many people in here that if you don't know what the gospel really teaches, they'll be happy to sit down with you and show you this is what God teaches you must do. Or we can go through here, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. But do you understand it? Let me help you do that. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?